Our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The words of Scripture to which we call your attention a few moments is found in Romans 12, verse 12. They will read, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I will speak a few moments on being patient in tribulation. First of all, the meaning, secondly, the requirement, and finally, the perseverance. You may notice that there are three clauses in the words of our text, which undoubtedly form a unity. You may also notice that each one of these three clauses contain two different concepts: rejoicing and hope in the first clause, being patient and in tribulation in the second clause, and persevering in prayer in the third clause. All these belong together and are very closely connected. You understand, of course, that I like to proclaim the word of God unto you in connection with the Lord's Supper. Not in the sense that you must become prepared for that Lord's Supper, but you are now, or supposed to be now. We came in the house of God in this morning hour to hear the proclamation of the gospel and to celebrate the supper which the Lord has instituted. And that I chose this particular text not only, but that I chose the theme from the second clause of the text is because I think that the first clause is independent of the second clause, patient in tribulation. And that is also true of the final clause, persevering in prayer. So that I think that we must first of all bear in mind and put in our heart that second part of the text, patience and tribulation. Now, that is also closely connected with the supper of the Lord. The Lord died for us, beloved. He shed his life blood for our salvation. But he also gave us an example in his suffering. No question about that. All Scripture teaches us that the Lord suffered and died not only for our salvation, but also that we might follow in his steps. And in order to follow in his steps, stands to reason that we must be patient, patient in tribulation. Otherwise, that is absolutely impossible. The Lord was patient, as no human being ever was patient. But the Lord was in tribulation, as no human being ever was in tribulation. In his suffering, therefore, the Lord gave us also an example. The example is that we must learn to be patient at tribulation. Although the Lord chiefly suffered and died, he suffered and died even so that he descended into deepest death and hell. That we do not have to do now, beloved, or evermore. That he suffered and died, and that he suffered even to the depth of hell, has been vicarious suffering, not for himself, not to earn or merit anything for himself. He did not have to suffer, and he did not have to die for himself. He was the Son of God in the flesh. And in the flesh, he also was perfect. He had no sin, as we have. Had not committed any sin, as we do. He died and suffered and descended into hell in our stead and for our sake. But as I say, it remains true that the scriptures also tell us that we must follow in his steps. Follow in his steps in such a way that even we are also in tribulation. And in that tribulation, as the text has it, the people of God must be patient. What is tribulation? Tribulation, according to the word, the original word, means to be in such a narrow strait, in such a narrow way, that we can hardly go through it. It's a way of suffering. That's tribulation. A suffering in the body, such as all kinds of sickness and all kinds of evil experiences, all kinds of pain, and ultimately death. That is the meaning of the word tribulation. But beloved, that tribulation can be and is of two kinds. tribulation of the body as well as of the soul. Tribulation to which we can do nothing. And there is also tribulation that becomes the object of our own willing choice. The tribulation, in the general sense of the word, such as all kinds of evil experiences of soul and body, that tribulation is common to all men. We all are in the midst of death. All men suffer. All men are therefore in tribulation. But as I said, about that kind of tribulation, we can do absolutely nothing. The Lord sends it upon us, and we cannot stay at the hand of the Lord. That is tribulation in the general sense of the word. However, there is also tribulation which becomes the object of our own choice. That is tribulation and suffering for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, we suffer. And we all suffer more or less for Christ's sake, beloved. And we all are in pain and trouble and prison and death, more or less, because the world causes us to suffer tribulation. But we can avoid, I say, if only we deny Christ, if only we choose to be free from that suffering by denying our Lord Jesus Christ. In that tribulation also has been from the very beginning of history. And that not only in the old dispensation, but also in the new. Of course, there were periods when that tribulation was severer than in other periods. There was the period of the early church, a part of which we read already in the New Testament. There was the period of the Reformation. The reformers and those that followed them suffered from all kinds of persecution. And finally, is the suffering that is still to come. The great tribulation through which the church has to go for Christ's sake. The time is coming in which we cannot buy or sell unless we bear the mark of the beast. Unless, therefore, we are willing to suffer with Christ and for his name's sake. That is the idea of tribulation, in the words of my text. And the text says that in that tribulation, we are exhorted to be patient. Be patient in tribulation. Patience, beloved, is a very strong word. It means to be ready, strong enough, and willing enough to suffer. I know that there have been men, even outside of the church and outside of the grace of God, that were prepared to suffer. Men that steeled themselves to bear the suffering of this present time. Yet, beloved, that was not patience, especially not patience in the sense in which my text speaks of it here. I rather think, beloved, that those Stoics of the past and all that are like them, all that bear and can bear suffering without even moving a muscle, is pride. Pride. They are, as it were, say to God, "All right, make me suffer. I don't mind. I'll take it. You can't make me move an eyelid, even though you pour out the vials of your wrath and my suffering upon me." That's not patience. Patience is a work of faith. All of the believers in Christ can be truly patient. Patience, beloved, I would define as that attitude and a work of faith whereby the Christian is willing to suffer for Christ's sake and is able to bear that suffering by that faith, by the grace of God, and as before his face. Humbly, the believer says to God, "O Lord, I'm afraid of suffering. I'm afraid of all kinds of pain in soul and body. I'm afraid. I don't like it. But in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I can and will bear it through the power of thy grace, even unto the end." That is patience. And mind you, this is an admonition. Be patient in suffering. An admonition which we need. We need, because we are still in the flesh. And the flesh cannot be patient. Patience is foreign to the flesh. And because that is so, therefore this text is put in the form of an admonition. Be ye patient in tribulation. Be ye ready to suffer. Whatever it may be, to suffer with and for Christ's sake in the midst of the world. Even if you must lose your job or position, even if you must be in suffering of the body, even if you must be put in prison, even if you must be put to death by your own choice, be patient and tribulation. That's the first part of my text, and that is also the main part, according to my view of the text. It is also the part, beloved, which we can hear by the word, and which we can see in the supper of the Lord. That broken bread, as you know, is the broken body of Christ. He was in tribulation for our sake. That wine that is poured out, in which you will presently drink, is his blood. And his blood, the wine as his blood, means that he was voluntarily in love to God and in love to his people in tribulation. That is the application of this part of my text. The second part, to my mind, answers the question, what is required in order to be patient in tribulation? And the answer is, beloved, rejoice in hope. If you cannot rejoice in hope, you cannot be patient in tribulation. If you rejoice in hope, you are principally patient in tribulation. I have no time, it is necessary either, because you know it too well, to explain in detail the hope of the people of God. I only want to say to you that hope here is to be taken in the objective sense of the word, if you know what I mean. I mean, you can take hope and in the sense of the act of hope, and you can take hope in the sense of the object of hope. The act of hope is threefold. It is, in the first place, expectation. Expectation of glory. In the second place, it is also assurance. Hope is assured not only that the object of hope is there, but also that I have and will have the object of hope. In the third place, hope is longing. Longing to be delivered from the body of this death. That is the subjective side of the Christian hope. The objective side is, of course, the glory. Apostle speaks of this, I think, in this epistle, and chapter 5, the second verse. There he writes of the hope, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, where you stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is the objective side, not the act, but the object. You hope for the glory of God. And that glory is indeed the glory of God, but it is at the same time, beloved, the promise of the glory for the people of God that is to come. And that glory is indeed also present now, will be present at the time when the earthly house of this tabernacle shall be dissolved, and we shall have a house with God, eternal in the heaven. And finally, when all the people, all the millions and millions of people are gathered together, and the new heaven and the new earth will be created and formed by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is hope in the objective sense of the word. And now the apostle says, beloved, rejoice. Rejoice in hope. There is, let the object of your hope become active in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit, so that looking forward to that final glory, you are glad. Even though you still are in the midst of death, you are glad because you view the glory that shall be revealed unto you and unto me in that day. That, beloved, is the idea of rejoicing. And why is that required? I say, beloved, that you must rejoice in hope in order to be able to be patient in tribulation. That's the connection in the words of my text. Be patient in tribulation, and in order to be patient in tribulation, You must rejoice in hope. Otherwise, it is impossible. You must be aware of the fact that your suffering is not in vain. That even if you have to suffer death for Christ's sake, don't be afraid. Because there is the hope in your heart. Because there is the joy of hope in your heart. That is the idea of the first part of my text. After that, beloved, that hope and that rejoicing in hope, in order to be able to suffer tribulation, is strengthened, first of all, by the preaching of the word, but also by the supper which the Lord has instituted. When you take that bread, beloved, and remember the Lord's death, when you drink that wine and remember that you suffered death for us, then rejoice in hope. For the Lord is coming. When he comes, he will take you into that glory that is the object of the hope, so that you may be with him forevermore. That is the truth. Finally, there is also in the words of my text an incentive. Or let me rather say, it denotes a way in which you may suffer in tribulation. That way is prayer. Be instant in prayer. I have no time, and it is necessary to explain it all. You know, prayer is not simply to go to God and ask for something. It's all right if you ask for the right thing. If you ask enough to be plunged in tribulation, your prayer is no good. If you ask for grace to bear the suffering of this present time, you must not only pray, beloved, but you must be instant in prayer. That is, not to pray day and night, literally, you must have something else too. But be ready to pray any time, and have the prayer for strength to fight the battle in your heart, day and night, if necessary, so that you may be able to stand in the midst of tribulation and hope eternal. That is briefly what I have to say to you this morning and to myself. Rejoice in hope, yes, because you must be ready to be patient in tribulation. And in order to do so, do not forget to pray, to pray, and to pray again. Amen.